You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill today. Looking ahead to all the action on Friday. In the afternoon, we're at York, Sandown and Newton Abbott. And in the evening, there's Fairy House, there's Chepstow, there's Goodwood, there's Aintree. So much to be getting on with this Friday. You can join Alex Dunn, Paddy Asphalt and Andrew Mount on Racing Radio from 1:40 for all the action. But for now, my name's John Gibby, joined by Dale Gibson to look ahead to it all. And also, Dale, to look ahead to Royal Ascot. Are you looking forward to the big meeting?
Yeah, I'm actually there on the Tuesday and the Wednesday, which is quite unusual because normally I just do the first day. But yeah, it's a fantastic week coming up again, isn't it? I'm looking forward to the King's Stand on Tuesday. Obviously, the Coventry, the Queen Anne, St James Palace, seeing Churchill, whether he can keep the unbeaten record up this season. He's certainly the one they've all got to beat there. But yeah, a fascinating week coming up.
People often say about the Tuesday at Royal Ascot that it is the best day of flat racing anywhere in the world on one card in a day. Would you agree with that?
More or less, yeah. Not far off anyway. Maybe some people might think it's Melbourne Cup Day or potentially Breeders' Cup Day, and some people maybe even Champions Day at Ascot, but it's bang up there. It's a wonderful spectacle and everybody comes together.
We've heard a lot over the last week or so about this accumulator. Lots of people are putting together of these bankers. A lot of them, in fact, all but one of them from the Aidan O'Brien stable. Those being Order St George, Ribchester, Winter, Caravaggio and Churchill. Do you see a fault in that fivefold? And if so, where is it?
There's not many faults in it, are there? The only thing with Ribchester, I would say, is potentially the ground. He had a bit of juice in it last time when he won. And obviously, he certainly ran well when he was third in Dubai on what was rain-softened ground. That's the only thing that could maybe beat him, is the fact that it's going to be pretty quick there on Tuesday. And the opposition will be aware of what tactics they're going to employ, almost certainly. He's going to be forward-going. They're not going to be messing around. So potentially, somebody could spoil his party from the tactics point of view. But of the others, you'd be surprised if they got turned over, but you know they are marked up accordingly in the markets.
What about Churchill? A lot of people have been making something of this rivalry, if you like, with Barney Roy, who was arguably a little bit unlucky in the Guineas, very likely raced as well. Do you think he could put it up to him?
I just think Churchill is the real deal in that he goes about his races in a workmanlike style. He doesn't win too flashily, but he does what he has to do. And he just hasn't put a foot wrong so far this season. And Barney Roy, for me, has maybe got to improve a fair bit to go and rattle up Churchill. It's almost certainly going to be a 8-runner race, I would suggest. I don't know how many Aidan's going to run in the end, whether Rivet goes. It looks like Rivet's just plateaued out from his decent 2-year-old campaign. I think he's maybe going to struggle at the highest level this year, Rivet. He's the one they've all got to aim at, Churchill, and Barney Roy's got to find something.
Another race that people have been talking about a lot over the last week or so is the Prince of Wales Stakes. With Cloth of Stars, we've heard yesterday, going to miss the race. They're going to come too soon for him. And it looks now like it could be a fairly weak renewal of the race.
Yeah, but someone once said to me, you try winning a weak renewal. You know, it's always difficult. You know, when you've got two or three horses that have come out for whatever reason, you've still got to go and win it. Listen, Highland Reel, he's battle-hardened. He's danced every dance, hasn't he? Hawkbill, just a fraction disappointing last time, maybe. But listen, let's just wait and see what goes to post. There's probably a little bit can happen between now and next week just yet. You know, we're having horses that are coming out the last minute all the time for whatever reason. So I'd prefer just to see the final decks before making a firm comment on it right now.
Yeah, vibes seem to be that Highland Reel might go for the Hardwick instead, prefer the further trip.
May well go there, but you don't know. They've got so many options, the O'Brien camp. They can leave things till the last minute, can't they?
What about the rest of the Royal Meeting, Dale? I mean, 5 days of it now. Yep. There's plenty to get stuck into.
Absolutely,
what else do you like?
I certainly like Marcia in the King's Stand Stakes. I thought she was an absolutely unbelievable price when she won at Newmarket, the Guineas Meeting. She's a real deal. She's got high cruising speed. She likes top of the ground. She's trained by Sir Mark Prescott. When he runs one in a Group 1, he's not doing it just for the sake of it. She is a Group 1 horse, without a doubt. She won the Abbey last year, and she's progressive. She's only 4 years of age. Everything's set up for her. Listen, you've got to respect Lady Aurelia, but Marsha, for me, in the King's Stand. The Coventry, the preceding race to King's Stand, is absolutely wide open, as it always is. And I'd just like to maybe see where horses are drawn on the day, really. Because if you're drawn out on a wing in a two-year-old race, it's not altogether the best place, particularly if 20 go to post. Exciting week ahead. Let's just hope that the weather stays fine. I think it will. And certainly got plenty to aim at. And throughout the rest of the year, I mean, just looking through the paper today, with races like the Northumberland Plate coming up, and the Eclipse, and the Magnet Cup, and then the King George. And there's one horse that catches my eye in the King George, even though we're a fair way away from it, and that's Enable, with the weight and the sex allowance in July, getting a full stone off the four-year-old colt. So I think you'd have to fancy her getting £14, wouldn't you?
Oh, I think it was impossible not to be impressed with the way Enable took the Oaks. I was actually there to see her win the Cheshire Oaks, and I thought that was, you know, that was a good run.
Good a trial as you'll get. Yeah. She's the real deal, absolutely. You know, whether the runner-up stayed or not, Rhododendron, she's very, very good.
Well, we'll see if Enable can continue her early season success and really put it up there in the middle distance division this season. And now from slightly further afield, we'll move to tomorrow's action, of course, which you can hear all live on William Hill's Racing Radio. Good day of action in prospect, as usual, for a Friday during the flat season. There's plenty going on. We'll start off with two races coming up at York. First of all, the 220, which is a 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs, a handicap for horses aged 4 and above. We've had 14 declared for this one. Dale, what do you make of this race?
Yeah, I do like the Alan King representative, Bourgeois, ridden by Martin Harley. He's done nothing wrong this year. Won off 84 on debut this season, then was runner-up last time. Went up again for that run. Comes back down in trip, but Alan King has such a superb record with his flat horses. He's got to have an outstanding chance. He'd probably go off favourite, but I think you want to be with him. Of the remainder, Yuke and Glenn had a couple of below-par runs in the winter time for Jim Goldie. His horses are in better form now. Then he won a couple of starts ago, did nothing wrong last time. He's only four. He's relatively lightly raced. I can see Yuke and Glenn running pretty well. Jim doesn't often bring him down to York unless he thinks there's a little bit in their favour. PJ McDonald rides. He's had a terrific start to the year, PJ. So just maybe have a look at the prices, but I'd definitely go along with the Alan King runner, Bourgeois, to maybe get you into winning action for the day on Friday.
Bourgeois is there for Dale in York's 220 contest, and we'll stay at York now for the 405, a 6 furlong, a sprint handicap, a Class 2 contest, a decent-looking race for horses, again, aged 3 and above, 12 going to post in this one as things stand. And Dale, it seems to be a kind of a mixture of new kids on the block and some slightly more exposed horses in this
one. Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, it's an 81 to 100, but the top rated is only rated 89, so it's not the strongest renewal, but still a tight race. There is a reason why William Haggis has kept sainted in training. She only had the 2 starts last year. She's been off virtually a whole calendar year, but she won off 76 at Newmarket last year. She's off a mark of 83 now. She's drawn adequately in stall 9. William will have targeted this race from quite some way out. And I think if the market speaks in her favour, sainted, you've got to be with her tomorrow. There's plenty going for her. She's completely unexposed, and she's been kept in training by the Cheveley Park stud outfit, and I think that is a tip in itself.
Fantastic. Well, sainted then for Dale in the 405 at York. And we'll move down south now to the action at Sandown on Friday afternoon, and a 1 mile, 2 furlong handicap, this time for horses aged 4 and above, 9 going to post in this one. And looks relatively open affair.
Yeah, relatively open. Chargal probably going to be favourite. One last time at Newcastle. Fairly ordinary race. Is now possibly off a more realistic mark. He went up £5 for winning there. And he's progressive for the Roger Varian yard, but he's been very well placed to to get to his mark of 87, and it's going to be tougher from now on. He doesn't probably represent brilliant value here, but then the opposition look relatively exposed bunch. You just need to know how fit Proctor was. Hasn't run this season yet, but did win two of his last three starts last year. Course and distance form tends to hold up at Sandown. And so maybe just have a little look at the market. And I wouldn't put you off Proctor if there's money for him to maybe take on Shajar.
Interesting to see where Shagyar, however we're pronouncing it. since switching to Handicap Company, won twice, but only gone up, £8 on the handicap?
Yeah, I mean, again, wasn't a great race at Windsor, wasn't a great race at Newcastle, but that's not to say that he's not mildly progressive, but I think you just got to be a little bit tempered with your betting in the 3:45 at Sandown.
OK, well, we'll move now to the evening action, and there's a good guard coming up at Goodwood, and the feature race on that is the 7:10, a 1 mile, 2 furlong handicap for 3-year-olds. A relatively small, but a select field in this one of 6 horses, Dale. Mm. What do you think?
Well, it's probably between the front two in the betting, the two progressive horses from the Roger Chantley Yard and Sir Michael Stout Yard. It's only £8 separates top weight from bottom weight, but I just think Mudarab of Sir Michael's hasn't run since he won at Pontefract earlier in the season. It's his handicap debut off a mark of 85, and he does look to be going in the right direction. Handam Almaktoum owned, Jim Crowley ridden, and this is the type of horse Sir Michael does so well with year in, year out, just mildly progressive and just work away without being too flashy. Ein Hallow of Roger Charlton's did win last time at Goodwood, £8 higher for that, so the handicap has not taken any chances. Roger got him off a decent mark to start with, set him off, and he's now off 81, having won off 73. But this is a tighter race. I think a couple of these maybe just reached their peak for the time being. Those horses that won at two, sometimes it takes them a little bit of time at three to then discover their true handicap mark. They're either handicapped out of it or they haven't physically progressed enough to be competitive against horses that are progressing physically, if that makes sense. And just as a process of elimination here, the Palmer horses aren't running very well. Jack Hammer at the top looks like he's handicapped. Bear Valley, the horse of Johnson's, looks like he's handicapped. So you're sort of knocking these horses out, really. Process of elimination. And I just think Mudarab's the one to be on.
Yeah, well, as you alluded to, there are plenty of improvement shown from Mudarab from his first to his second start. And it is a bit of a cliche about Sir Michael Stout's improvers, but I just think when he does train a horse like that, it should set off alarm bells if you're looking to take on the horse.
Absolutely. Quite right.
Well, Dale, thank you very much for your thoughts on Friday's action and on Royal Ascot as well. Remember, you can join Alex Dunn, Paddy Aspel and Andrew Mount from 1:40 on William Hill's Racing Radio, and make sure you tune in tomorrow for another Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.